have a wonderful service in store for us today. So I won't keep you very long, just some quick announcements. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning men's group at 8:30. And on Wednesday, Christmas Eve service is at 6 p.m. It'll be a candlelight service and Holy Communion will be served. And don't forget that on December 25th and the 26th, the church offices will be closed. Don't forget the New Year's Eve party by the Brotherhood up here in the parish hall. And I believe it's 6:30, right? 6 o'clock. A little early. That's good, too. That's a good one to remember. And also, we have a little fellowship in the parish hall after each and every service. I remind you also that today after the service, we will have our meeting to approve the budget for our year 2015. So I'd like to make sure that all our members please remain, and hopefully it won't last that long at all. Are there any other announcements I may have missed? All right, then, as we hear then the ringing of the church bell and see the candles being lit upon the altar and hear the music fill the sanctuary, let us fill our hearts and our minds with the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps covenant and steadfast love forever. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Almost there. Almost there. It's almost Christmas. We've done a lot of work preparing. We decorated our homes and our church. We did a candle every week. Maybe you opened a little window on your advent calendar every day for a piece of chocolate. Almost there. Almost there. How many more days? 5. Wow. 4. Theologian, not a mathematician. Almost there. And this is the season that is full of gifts. We give each other stuff, Santa brings stuff. We also fill our hearts with the gift of love for one another, with family and friends and food and all that. And we do that in order to celebrate God's biggest gift for us, God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Biggest birthday party ever. And that is why today our choir is going to bring us the biggest present of the church season that we have in our congregation, and that is the cantata that is beautiful. Thank you all for joining us for this wonderful gift that we're presented this morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We come to witness a miracle.
We sing the miracle of God's steadfast love.
New life bursts forth in unexpected ways.
We shout the good news.
desert blooms. What was barren is fertile. Good Christian men rejoice. Our hymn is number 116. Can I please have the kids come up here? Okay. Who of y'all has a Christmas tree at home? Everybody, what's your favorite thing about your Christmas tree at home? Decorating, awesome. Ornaments. Decorating. Okay, the kids love decorations and ornaments on the Christmas trees. Okay, let's look at our Christmas trees here at church, okay? Which one should we go to? They're similar. Which one? Pick one. All right. So, look at the tree. What do you notice about it?
Ornaments.
Uh-huh. Okay. The kids are blinded by the light. You look at the ornaments and the glittery stuff, right? Okay, let's look at the tree part of the Christmas tree. Okay, besides the glitter, what do you see? What color does a Christmas tree have?
Green.
Green. And when you look at the trees outside now, what color do they have? Brownish, grayish. Grayish. Do they look this green outside? Do we have those trees outside around here? Okay. Why do we put them in our living rooms and churches?
Because we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. Ah, they're the only trees that are green this time of year. We call them evergreens. What does the color green stand for in flowers and trees and plants? Close? Life. A flower, a tree, a plant that has green in it has life in it. So this reminds us that in the cold winter when nothing really blooms or grows, that tree reminds us of life and juice and God's power that is still strong. That baby that is born on Christmas is the light of the world and brings life, just like the tree reminds us of life, even though we don't have much around in nature these days. So look at the green stuff too. It's pretty too. All right? Now, I'm not going to send you off to children's church right now, because today we're switching things around. We have a big choir cantata. Enjoy the music that you hear. But after church, we'll have a meeting. We're just sitting around and talking and talking and talking. And during that, you will have children's church. Okay? All right, back to your seats. And since the choir is running the show this morning, may I ask three of you to come up and light the Advent wreath.
Elizabeth conceived and bore a son, John, sent by God as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him.
John himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light.
John proclaimed the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
We rekindle the candles of peace, love, and spirit. Today we light the fourth candle of joy, testifying to the light of Christ. Amen.
Please rise and join me in the invocation. Holy God, loving Christ, living Spirit, you are present in the everyday occurrences. You are revealed in startling and wondrous encounters. Let the revelation of your mystery unfold again this day, that we may see it together. Let the secret of the ages shed new light on our relationship to you and to each other, as we praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his holy word. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, as you bless us with our cantata this morning, we look at all the journeys that we have in our lives. We depart, we travel, we arrive. We depart again, and we keep journeying and journeying, ever moving forward, never stopping, just like your people have always done, into slavery, out of slavery, to the promised land, into exile, back for restoration, under attack, constantly moving. That's how our lives are as well. They go up and down, full of love, full of loss, full of health, full of pain, full of riches, full of poverty, full of feasting, full of hunger. We journey. And throughout this journey, we hope and pray that you will always be with us, as we have seen you have been with your people throughout the ages. Be with us this morning and this Christmas season, regardless of where we are on our journey. If we're here today, that's our time of worship. If we're home or hospital bound, be with us in our loneliness. We're traveling out there, enjoying friends and family. Share our fun. Lift up all our hearts as we unite them in the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know it's not time for the budget meeting yet, but this is the offering, so I got to talk money a little bit. There is one change proposed in the budget that you may or may not see, but I want to bring it up to your attention because it concerns this envelope. This is the envelope for the Christmas fund. You all may remember the old name of it that was Veterans of the Cross. It is still Veterans of the Cross. It's the Christmas fund for Veterans of the Cross and emergency funds, because it not only helps retired clergy and church employees, but also helps out in emergencies these days. So not just retirement supplementation and continuing to serve those who have served us for decades, but also emergency assistance when life happens. Because guess what? Pastors are people, and life happens to us as well. There's that story that we had from our associate conference minister in the Rocky Mountain Conference a few years back, where his mom died unexpectedly. And that happens to everybody, but the problem with pastors is that we have them move all around the world, or at least country, and usually we're far away from where family used to be more than everybody else's. So those emergency funds could help him and his kids and wife go back to the funeral within a couple of days, which they couldn't really do without the support that was needed there. And then don't forget those hundreds of retirees whose pension doesn't really last through the end of the month. You know how retirement planning goes, and you know how pastors are in their financial life. So. The change that we're going to do in the budget is we're taking it out of the budget. Since all the 5 for 5 offerings that we do with our national setting, emergency relief around the world, in the U.S., building the church, all those special offerings that we have, neighbors in need, strengthen the church, they're not budgeted items in our congregation, which makes sense because they're a special offering, meaning plate goes around. This one we had as a budgeted item. We're not going to do that anymore because we wanted to raise other contributions. So you need to give a little more starting next year. But I told you that so you can give more today also, okay? As the offering plate comes around, don't forget your regular offering, because God has blessed you with people who brought you to this time and place, and this is a way of giving back to similar people who have been part of similar journeys as yours. Holy One, it's the time for Christmas presents. Just like they do in schools and workplaces, we throw a gift in the box so that one day when we need to draw one and we need you through the service of your church, that there is something to be picked from. We strengthen the ministry that helps people now and help. It may help us someday. Thanks for being with us, to pastors of the past, churches of the present and the future. Be with us as your faithful servants have been with us, and we want to be with you going forward. Amen. They told me it's cantata today, so I don't have to preach all that much, so I only brought you a half hour or so. God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us is also what Hanukkah is all about. My family and I, we went to the synagogue in Missouri City Friday night for the installation of their new rabbi. He came about June-ish, sound familiar? And now it was time for his installation there. Wonderful event with the Jewish community from all over Houston, represented just like we had the UCC represented here for my installation a few months back. The big question that we share with God's people of Israel and the Jewish community is God with me or not? Age-old struggle. And the answers are pretty similar. Israel wants God's presence, like we all do. And in the synagogue, it's represented pretty much like here. We have the Bible on the altar, God speaking to us through God's word. In the synagogue, you have a little niche in the wall with the Torah scrolls in them, and you hope that God's word is present same thing really. That stems from the times of Egypt, when there was only the word. And Israel was lost in the desert, and all they had was that piece of papyrus, I guess, that they had carried around in that little box, the tabernacle, that holy box with God's presence around it. God with us in a little box, that's all we had for that season. So God's people hope for God to be present in the Ark of the Covenant, but they also hope for political leadership to bring about peace, get rid of Roman occupation, bring God's people together in peace in the Holy Land, those struggles that we have seen for millennia. And God has provided all that through the ages. Eventually, the temple was built as a permanent home where the people could be with God. And David's dynasty of king after king after king provided stability for centuries. God has been with God's people. And us, not born into the people of Israel, we were adopted into God's covenant with Israel through Jesus Christ. We share that blessing and that covenant, that promise of God's presence with God's people. We can only do that because Christ was born the way he was, we hear in Scripture. He's born into David's dynasty. When you look at the pedigree in Matthew, he's the David's son, as we call him. We sing it in our Christmas hymns. Yes, David's kingdom established in that baby in the manger. And then we talk about God being present in Jesus Christ among us. Christ is God's presence. Christ is God's temple. We are Christ. We are God's temple. We're not afraid to use those words, and they mean exactly what they've always meant for God's people. God is with us. And that's why the angel told Mary, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which is nothing but the Hebrew word for God is with us. The God of Israel is with us in that babe in the manger. That's the greatest gift that we get for Christmas. God is with us. No matter where we are on life's journey, be it in the desert, be it around a table that is overflowing with all the goodness that life has to offer. Emmanuel, God is with us. And God is also with us in a beautiful song that we're about to hear. Let's celebrate the season with the joy of the cantata.
We invite you on a journey with some songs of the season. As the music fills the sanctuary, sit back and think about one particular journey, one that occurred many years ago. May the music, the words, the message be a blessing in your life. The journey begins with the city of Bethlehem. It was there in young David's hometown that the prophet Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel. The prophet also foretold that the Messiah would come from the small and seemingly insignificant town of Bethlehem. Reading from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judea. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. Thank you. 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Continuing with chapter 2 of Luke, we read of another journey. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Thank you. and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Their gift symbolizes Christ's identity and mission: gold for a king, incense for God, and myrrh used to anoint the dead. God warned the wise men in a dream to go home by another route and not to report back to King Herod. From Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Jesus was his name, and he was born to save us all. We'll celebrate.
shone by a star up in the sky, they found the baby new. It was the Savior born in Bethlehem on the very first Christmas day. Jesus came down to earth so that he could teach us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he has commanded us to do. Surely he is with us always, to the very end of the age.
So as I promised y'all, the kids will come back at the end of the service and we'll send them out so we can have our meeting with Children's Church at the same time. So kids, come up again, please. Okay, I need y'all to help me because we are leading the benediction now, okay? Can y'all line up here next to each other? Nice and tight, good. So, and you do what I do, okay? Yeah, kind of. And all of us can actually stand for the benediction. You do what my right hand does, okay? Look at my right hand and do what it does. And you just do what says, the congregation says, right? Congregation says, not Simon. Go from this place in peace. Go from this place in love. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And now we sing him off to Children's Church as we always do. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
concludes the service, but nobody's getting out of here until we're done with the meeting, unless you want to.